Eventually, the psychomorph comes to the point of no return. It becomes a, well, to use an unscientific term, a lost soul. It wanders bodiless through the universe. We can detect these unattached psychomorphs with instruments, unlike those of the, how shall I put it, the saved, which disappear entirely from our ken. So, you see, you must give up this form of travel by death. This is why continued suicide by those poor unfortunates who cannot face life is, if not the unforgivable sin, the irrevocable. The jewel-eyed man said, "The traitor, the filthy unknown who claims to be aiding you, was actually using you for his own purposes. He did not tell you that you were expending your chance for eternal life by carrying out his and your designs. He or she, whoever the traitor is evil. Evil, evil. Therefore, you must be careful from now on. You may have a residue of a dozen or so deaths left to you, or your next death may be your last." Burton stood up and shouted, "You don't want me to get to the end of the river. Why? Why?" Loga said, "Au revoir. Forgive us for this violence." Burton did not see any of the 12 persons point an instrument at him, but consciousness sprang from him as swiftly as an arrow from the bow, and he awoke. Chapter 30. The first person to greet him was Peter Friggett. Friggett lost his customary reserve. He wept. Burton cried a little himself, and had difficulty for a while in answering Friggett's piled one-on-the-other questions. First, Burton had to find out what Friggett, Logu, and Alice had done after he had disappeared. Friggett replied that the three had looked for him, then had sailed back up the river to Thelemé. "Where have you been?" Friggett said. "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it," Burton said. "However, unlike Satan, I found at least several perfect and upright men, fearing God and eschewing evil. Damn few, though. Most men and women are still the selfish, ignorant, superstitious, self-blinding, hypocritical, cowardly wretches they were on earth. And in most, the old red-eyed killer ape struggles with its keeper, society, and would break out and bloody its hands." Friggett chatted away as the two walked toward the huge stockade a mile away, the council building which housed the administration of the state of Thelemé. Burton half listened. He was shaking, and his heart was beating hard, but not because of his homecoming. He remembered. Contrary to what Loga had promised, he remembered both his wakening in the pre-resurrection bubble so many years ago, and the Inquisition with the 12 ethicals. There was only one explanation. One of the 12 must have prevented the blocking of his memory, and done so without the others knowing it. One of the 12 was the mysterious stranger, the renegade. Which one? At present, there was no way of determining, but someday he would find out. Meanwhile, he had a friend in court, a man who might be using Burton for his own ends, and the time would come when Burton would use him. There were the other human beings with whom the stranger had also tampered. Perhaps he would find them. Together, they would assault the tower. Odysseus had his Athena. Usually, Odysseus had had to get out of perilous situations through his own wits and courage, but every now and then, when the goddess had been able, she had given Odysseus a helping hand. Odysseus had his Athena, Burton his mysterious stranger. Friggett said, "What do you plan on doing, Dick?" "I'm going to build a boat and sail up the river, all the way. Want to come along?"
The End. You've been listening to Your Scattered Bodies Go by Philip Jose Farmer, narrated by Paul Hecht. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.